This week, we launched our summer series on lakes. Now, we asked you for your favorites, and boy, did you deliver. So many waded in. We'll hear from many of you over the course of the summer, but let's start today with Lisa Burke from Medina, Ohio. She had many memories, including one of a lake that her friend's family took her to.
The first is the most beautiful, deep blue, crystal clear lake in Michigan called Torch Lake. My friend's dad took us water skiing first thing in the morning when the water was like glass, and we could look through our skis and see the stones on the bottom of the lake. One thing about Torch is the temperature. Located in northern Michigan, it's frigid cold.
Hi, my name is Josie Barr from Wichita, Kansas, and Jenny Lake in Grand Teton National Park is the most beautiful place on earth.
Lewis Horn III from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Lake Superior is an amazing lake with a beautiful shoreline, but the water itself is a bit frigid for summer swimming. For swimming, I'd visit the west coast of Michigan's Lower Peninsula.
This is Kristen Shields in Bend, Oregon. Squam Lake in New Hampshire has a very special place in my heart. We had friends who had a cabin on the lake, and for 20 years we were able to visit them nearly every year. It was so sad when they had to sell the cabin.
Hi, this is Tana Byers from York County, PA. Our local state parks have really awesome lakes for kayaking, fishing, hiking, camping. So carry on, have fun at your local lakes, and wear your life jacket.
Good advice. And let's get some more from another listener, Steve Lunt. He wrote us that July has been Lake Appreciation Month for almost 20 years in the U.S. We knew that. No, we didn't. We had no idea. So we called up Steve to ask him about it. He's a lake quality scientist with the Metro Wastewater Reclamation District in Denver, Colorado. He's also a certified lake manager with the North American Lake Management Society, or NAMS, which sponsors Lake Appreciation Month. Steve, what exactly is NAMS?
It's been around for 37 years. It's just a group of scientists, citizens that live on lakes, people that manage lakes. And for, like I said, 20 years, there's been a Lake Appreciation Month for July. And so it's been kind of fun.
Well, we all have our party hats on now that we know. But, you know, you have on your website different things that people can do. For instance, you say people can arrange a lake or watershed cleanup, start a watershed storm drain stenciling program.
Yeah, so I'm actually doing one here in Denver where you just get school groups, camp groups, kids to team up, and we go out and we actually go and find storm drains. And we mark them with a plaque that says this leads to a stream or to a lake.
Yeah, so don't dump things in it.
Exactly. And so it's just a good way to educate kids, educate the citizens, and then they can do their part and make lakes as clean as we can get them.
You say ask your local lake agency about shadowing a lake manager for a day. What would they see them do?
Well, so a lot of times a lake manager goes out onto a lake, they take samples, they take measurements, they're kind of like a lake doctor, and they go out there and see how the lake is doing, especially during the warmer season when algae's growing. And so a lot of people call me up and say, you know, I'd like to go out to Bar Lake. That's the lake I work on downstream of Denver. And I take people out and just kind of talk about what the watershed is like. And it's just a great way to see a lake from a different perspective.
You mentioned the watershed. These are the streams or rainfall catchalls that feed a lake. What are the biggest concerns about lakes? We know about the invasive Asian carp. What are some of the concerns across the country?
You know, invasive species is definitely a big one. We have the zebra mussel, the quagga mussel. And so many of those invasive species can easily be transported by boat from lake to lake. And in fact, I had a hard time getting on a lake yesterday to monitor it just because they do boat inspections here and they're very thorough with that. So
Wait a minute. Are you saying like on the bottom of your boat, some invasive fish might be clinging there?
Yeah, well, not a fish per se, but, you know, like a plant fragment or these quagga mussels. So these are freshwater mussels that can attach to a boat and get transported from one lake to another. So that's definitely a big concern when going from one lake to the other. And in Colorado, we have a great monitoring program for invasive species. So we have a good program where we do boat inspections and decontamination. And people that go out to the lakes now are just kind of expect this little extra process. You just can't launch your boat and go out into the water. And even people like lake managers have to do it too.
My dear friend, the late, great Marty Sender, used to get in his kayak. He was determined to clear out the Charles River, not a lake, but the Charles River, of this invasive sort of viney thing that had just... And he, you know, slowly but surely, he started a movement. He would just pull them out all day, every day. So these plants can be strangling.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, there's definitely plants that are not native and don't belong here, and there's no natural predators or a way to keep them in check and balance, and they can definitely take over a lake. And it's shocking for, you know, a person that goes out to a lake one year and the next year they come back and it looks completely different.
Yeah. You remind me to check in Ithaca, New York, one of my favorite lakes, Cayuga. Acres have been taken over by this invasive Asian weed hydrilla. The Army Corps of Engineers is now going to go in to try to start cleaning out this. It's like a stringy weed. You can't swim or boat through it. It's choking off wildlife. You know, it's almost like out of a little shop of horrors
right.
that took it
yep.
over. Let's look at some other things you say people can do. Arrange a cleanup event.
Yeah, that's a great event for families, even for businesses that look for doing events where a lake can organize a weekend where you come out and walk the shoreline and you pick up the trash. I mean, that's kind of an easy thing to do, and definitely a lot of trash ends up in lakes. And one of the big complaints when people go to a lake is, you know, they want to see a beautiful lake and not a cluttered or a messy shoreline. So an easy thing to do, even just on your own, is in the month of July is to go pick up some trash and do a shoreline cleanup.
You also talk about, I mean, you obviously as a scientist and other people who manage lakes, they are testing the water. But you say host an activity and bring enough sampling gear, ID keys and other materials for everyone to join in the fun. Are you talking about people themselves going out and sampling? Like, what would they do with it?
Part of Lake Appreciation Month, there's this other event that goes on in July is the Great Secchi Dip-In. And so there's a way for people to use this instrument. It's a Secchi disc, pretty easy to make one. And people take a measurement of water clarity. You don't have to have all the fancy equipment and all that stuff, but there are some things that people can do to kind of just learn a little bit about the science behind what goes on in a lake. So we have the Great American Secchi Dip-In that occurs every July, and that's been going on for 24 years, too, that people, I don't think, know about, and we like to get that message out.
Did we miss it? Or
no, you can still do it. So NALMS as well organizes this. It started off with Kent State University with Bob Carlson way back in 94, and it's called the Great American Secchi Dip-In, where it's a snapshot in time of water clarity across North America. And so anybody that has a Secchi disc can find one, can make one. It's just a black and white disc. You lower it into the water, measure its clarity, and you send in that information. And then over time, you can track how clear your lake is. And you know, that's a big thing when people go to a lake. They want to make sure it's nice and clear, and they can see their toes when they walk in.
I am going to get myself a Secchi disc.
You do that.
Steve Lund, who knew? I mean, this has just been so great to, you know, really find out how deep the passion for lakes in this country goes. You mentioned one lake, Bar Lake. What are some other lakes that are just your favorites?
Well, I'm from the Pacific Northwest, so growing up, I water skied on Silver Lake near Castle Rock, Washington, by Mount St. Helens. It's a beautiful little lake that you could water skiing on that just is, you know, is in the woods and nobody really knows as much about it, but it was a great place to learn to water ski and to play during the summers. Professionally, I've worked on many lakes. I sampled probably over 90 lakes in Indiana doing water quality monitoring. And so there's definitely, professionally, there's a lot of lakes I've enjoyed over the years.
Very few people can put together that sentence. I've sampled 90 lakes in Indiana. But we're glad you did. Steve Lund, he's a water quality scientist, and he wrote in to tell us about, woohoo, it's Lake Appreciation Month. Steve, thank you for adding to the festivities here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for talking about lakes.
So next week, we're going to hear about having a lake house in the family for generations. We're going to hear about the literature inspired by lakes. And we still want to hear about your favorite lakes. Ali Nolert from Norman, Oklahoma, described a hike he went on to Treasure Lake in the Wichita Mountains on the 4th of July.
You're walking through the rocks and the desert and the cactus, and you come across this fabulous lake with steep red rock walls and deep blue. And on the way back, we're just walking down the stream bed and have to make a bit of a detour because there's a very large bison standing just munching some grass just about 10 yards off the trail.
Okay, then, top that. Your lake story is welcome at hereandnow.org.